Well, thanks, Trish, and g'day again, everybody, and happy Easter to you. It's a terrific day to be together. Thanks for making the time to come out and spend time together in God's Word. There is a predictable refrain that is said on Easter Sunday. I don't know if many of you know this predictable refrain, but it goes something like this. People might come up to you and say, "He is risen," and the predictable refrain is, does anyone know it? I'll listen to it. Look at all of you. That's good. Well, you might be surprised to know that I don't like to be particularly predictable, so I don't think you have to say that, okay? That's just old-fashioned, all right? You don't have to be predictable. It's good to be unpredictable. So someone might come up to you today and say, "He is risen." I want to challenge you. You can say, "He sure is, mate." There you go. It's a bit more Aussie, isn't it? You can say it that way. It's the same thing. That's a bit more unpredictable. Well, it's been a great long weekend so far, hasn't it? Thankfully, a predictable one as far as weather is concerned. It's been a good weekend. A good long weekend for all sorts of things like outdoor movies such as we had last night. It's a good one for outside egg hunts and finding chocolate. It's a good weekend for camping. And let's be honest, a long way out, people were looking at the predictions. Yes? What will this weekend be like? Will it be good? Will it be bad weather? Will it be predictable, unpredictable weather? We hope it will be predictable. And so we check a long way out. We check those predictions to see if it's going to be good weather. Now, if it wasn't and we were stuck inside across this weekend, well, it's not the end of the world, but we would like it if the predictions were correct, wouldn't we? But when it's not a weekend and it's an outdoor wedding that you've been planning for 12, 18 months, then you want the predictions to be absolutely right, don't you? Or, even more so, the people of North Queensland. Recently, just 2 days after Cyclone Debbie, Kel, my wife and I travelled to Townsville, and we, while we were up there, saw all of the activities that had been taking place in these homes as the predictions of this Cyclone Debbie got closer and closer. Now, thankfully, for that particular town, on this particular occasion, the predictions were absolutely correct. It didn't hit Townsville. But it is unpredictable as to when the next one will come. And it will come. But they can't yet predict when it will come or where it will hit along the North Queensland coast. Today's a pretty predictable day. I predict you've got some chocolate. Or whatever other version you have, carob or something else, I don't know, whatever's the PC version these days. You've got it. In your hands, perhaps. Perhaps even in your mouth right now. Predictable. We're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus right now. Predictable. But the first Easter Sunday wasn't so predictable. In fact, it was completely unpredictable. And it all took place where unpredictability is the least desired option. That is, in a cemetery. We don't like unpredictability there, do we? Well, we're going to pray and then we're going to have a look together at this unpredictable Easter Sunday in Luke chapter 24. Now, kids, I know you're with us this morning. I know that you can listen on as well. I reckon you've got a lot to offer us this morning, kids. You've got some things on the front of your sheets there, kids, about the things that I'm going to talk about. And you've got some opportunities there to draw some faces and some reactions based on the things that I'm saying this morning. And so after the service, if you want to come and bring them to me, show me what you've done. Show me if you've got those three reactions right on the front of that sheet. You can follow along just as Mum and Dad or Grandma and Grandpa can follow along as well. So let me pray and then we're going to have a look at Luke chapter 24. Our Lord and God, thanks so much for your word. Thank you for Easter Sunday. We pray that you would help us as we look at this unpredictable situation this morning to see who Jesus really is and what he has really done. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, it could just be that I'm dumb. It could be that I'm disrespectful, or it could just be harmless fun. But I wasn't overly silly when I first got my license, and neither were my friends. But we were not very creative. And so as we got our licenses, we would drive around the Sutherland Shire doing not much. we would drive to South Cronulla Beach and then all get out of our cars and stand there and look at each other for a while and talk for a bit and then say we're bored. And so we'd get in the car and go up to Miranda Fair and look at the lights across the city, and then that would be boring for a little while. And then sometimes we would end up where everybody ends up, Warrenora Cemetery. And there was on the side of the cemetery at that time a hole in the fence. And it was the dare that in the middle of the night you'd have to go inside the cemetery and walk around in there for a bit and then come back out again. And yeah, great fun. Now, I, of course, was never the one to walk in there. I was always the one kicking other people through the fence and making them go in there. But that's not the place where you want unpredictable things to take place, is it? I mean, it's already eerie. It's already a little bit creepy to be there. To be in the cemetery at that hour of the night when everything is dark and it's very quiet, the last thing you want is someone jumping out at you. And yet it's a similar situation that these devoted women found themselves in on the very first Easter Sunday. See, on the very first Easter Sunday, a group of devoted women headed to the place of the dead, to the tomb where Jesus' body had been laid just a couple of days before. And they were loving and devoted women who had got up very early in the morning. Verse 1 tells us they got up at early dawn. Now, you could get up at dawn, or you could get up at early dawn, that is, a long time before dawn. We're talking somewhere around 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. It's early. It's cold. It's dark. And they're going to the place where Jesus' body was laid, to a cemetery, to a tomb. And they went there because they were devoted to Jesus, devoted to looking after him even in his death. They were going there to take spices, perfumes, to put on the body of the dead Jesus. And yet when they arrived there at the tomb, at the place of the dead, they found some unpredictable things. Now, we've already said that's not the place where you want unpredictability to be happening. But they found two unpredictable things. Look there at chapter 24 of Luke and verse 1. But on the first day of the week, that's the Sunday, at early dawn, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Well, the first unexpected, unpredictable thing that they found was that the stone across the front of the tomb had been rolled to the side. It wasn't in its proper spot anymore. Now, I wonder, if that was you, what would you do? If you walked into a cemetery, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and found the top of a grave had been taken off and there was a box open there, what would you do? Well, the women were fairly courageous. They were there to put the spices on the body anyway, so they decided to take a few more steps and go inside, as you do. Look at what they did, verse 3. But when they went in, another unexpected thing happened. When they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. When they went in there, there was an empty tomb. There was no body. The body they expected to find in there was gone. Now, how would you feel at that moment? How would you feel as you expected to go and do your expected jobs of putting this perfume on the dead body, only to find the tomb was open and there was nobody inside? Well, verse 4 tells us how they felt. They were perplexed about this, as you would be. Here was a guy who had been brutally murdered 2 days earlier, that you had gone there in order to put spices on his body, and in the middle of the night in the cemetery, two unexpected things take place and there's nobody there. Of course you'd be perplexed. What else would you be? Perhaps you're here this morning and you're a little perplexed. Perhaps a family member's brought you along to church. Perhaps friends invited you to come to church this morning. Come on Easter Sunday, it will be great. We'll hear about Jesus risen from the dead, and perhaps on the inside you're thinking, I'm perplexed that anyone would come back from the dead. It doesn't happen. Perhaps that's you this morning. Perhaps you're here and you're perplexed too. Perhaps you're saying to yourself, well, it doesn't happen a brutal murder followed by the end of the weekend, a fella walking down the street, dancing his way down the street. It doesn't happen. Well, if that's the case, you're in good company. These women, devoted followers of Jesus, they themselves were perplexed. But they didn't stay there. You see, while they stood in their state of being perplexed, two men appeared to them. Look at verse 4. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. So two men appear in front of them in dazzling apparel in the middle of the night. Now, the dazzling apparel is not red carpet at the Oscars Armani suits. Neither is it sequin dresses from Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. That's not what these guys were in. They were in dazzling apparel. But rather than turn away from the brightness of this dazzling apparel, what do the women do? Well, they put their faces to the ground. It's a sign to us that it's not the light shining off their garments that's a problem. What has dazzled them is these people, these men, are angels, messengers from God, a supernatural being before them to give them a message. See, these two men, they're really not after honor. What are they there for? Well, they're there to give these women a message. The women were perplexed, but these two men, likewise, are equally perplexed. They're perplexed at what the women are doing. What are you doing? That's the content of their conversation in verses 5 and 6. They say something like this to these women. You think your morning has been unpredictable. You think your morning has been unusual. You're standing here perplexed. But everything that you've seen this morning ought to have been utterly predictable to you. It should have been. What are you doing? Don't you remember? Don't you remember you followed Jesus? And when he was in Galilee, he made three open predictions. He said, number one, he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men. Number two, that he would be crucified. And number three, on the third day, rise. Don't you remember these predictions? All that you see before you would have been totally predictable if you listened to Jesus. See, it really is amazing, isn't it, when you think about it? Here is Jesus, who during his life and ministry on this earth was able to predict his own death. You might say, well, you could do that. You could predict your own death, and you could if it was to come at your own hands. But when it requires the hands of others to bring about your death and for it to be done in a specific way, it is impossible, isn't it, to predict your own death and how it might happen. And not only did Jesus predict it, but the Old Testament predicted Jesus' death in this way also. And so the angels, they come to these women and they say, don't you remember Jesus' predictions? That he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men. You saw that happen. Tick. He was crucified on a cross. Don't you remember only 2 days ago that happened? Tick. And so why don't you expect that what he thirdly predicted would also not be true? You see, it's happened. Jesus is alive. See what they say in verse 5, the second half of verse 5. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you come to the cemetery to find an alive person? He is not here. He has risen. He's alive. Well, I don't know what the next set of 7 days will look like for you, but I tell you what it looked like for me. I'm not quite sure. I don't know what the weather will be like. I can't predict it. I don't know what my health will be like. I can't predict that. I don't know what will irritate me in my own home. I can't predict that. I don't know what events will take place. I can't predict everything. We might predict some things, but we can't predict everything. But there's one thing I definitely can't predict, and it's the manner of my own death. No, more than that, there's something I can't predict. What will happen after I die? I can't predict that at all. But Jesus could. He predicted not only the manner of his own death, but that he would rise from the dead. He promised it. and it happened. See, Jesus made many other promises, didn't he, in the Bible? The greatest of which is that he could forgive sins and open eternal life. And the Bible speaks in colorful language, literally colorful language, about the nature of our sins. That though they are like scarlet, though they are like being painted red, they will be one day painted white by the one who would come and forgive. That was what was there for us in that first reading from Psalm 51. And Jesus promised that he was the one that was going to come and do that, to forgive sins. But here's the thing, anyone can say that. How do we know Jesus is not just full of hot air? See, I could say to you at morning tea time, nice cuppa, your sins are forgiven. Oh, well, good on you. Thanks very much for that. Prove it to me. I mean, how does that make any sense? Your sins are forgiven. I can't see that. Nothing's changed in you. It's an internal thing. It's not an external thing. How can I actually prove to you that it's true? Anyone can say those words. How do you prove it? Well, you prove it by being a trustworthy person, don't you? By keeping your promises. I promise I can forgive your sins. Well, that's all well and good. You might know me well enough to know that my promises are not worth anything. But for Jesus, it's entirely different. He promised that he could come back from the dead. And he did. And if this is true, then it means that all of the other promises that Jesus made can be kept. See, if anyone can promise to come back from the dead, then I'll believe them on whatever they say. Especially that they can forgive sins. And so if you know and love the Lord Jesus, it's worth remembering that because of the resurrection of Jesus, the forgiveness that he offers you and the eternal life that he offers you is utterly predictable in the face of your unpredictable life. But it's good to know that on that first Easter Sunday, it wasn't all apple pie and ice cream. It wasn't as if everybody just immediately said, Jesus is alive, we believe it straight away. The Bible's more gritty than that. It's not sugarcoating the story, is it? Notice in the last few verses of this passage, from verse 8 through to the end of this passage, that there's a range of different responses to the resurrection of Jesus. First of all, the women. In verse 8, we read that they remembered Jesus' words. They had an aha moment. Yes, we do remember these three predictions of Jesus. It's true. He's alive. And so they rush back to tell the other 11 apostles and the other disciples who were there. And when they get there, they share the news with them and the reception's not as they'd hoped. These were well-known women who had been with Jesus and the cohort for a while, but when they come back with the news in verse 11, look how everyone reacts. But when these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. An idle tale. It's a very polite way of saying it. But the word is probably best translated as the words you would say when you are deliriously sick on your deathbed. We might put them this way: moronic gibberish. That's what the men thought. The women come back with the story that Jesus is alive and they say, you guys are speaking moronic gibberish. A dead guy come back to life? Didn't you see him get murdered a couple of days ago? This is rubbish. This does not make any sense at all. At the time, they didn't believe it. They were saying to the women, you got up too early this morning, go back to bed. Well, Peter, he's not so sure though. Out of all of the apostles and disciples, he's not so sure. You see, he'd been wrong about Jesus in the past. He'd spoken wrong things about Jesus in the past, and perhaps that's why he gets up and has a look at the tomb himself. Look at verse 12. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Well, when Peter got there, he saw the same thing as the women. No stone at the front, no body inside. But we read an extra detail, don't we? The grave clothes were in there. The cloths that Jesus was wrapped up in as he died were still there in the tomb. Now, that's an important detail, isn't it? Because sometimes the legend is told Jesus didn't actually come back to life. Someone kidnapped his body. Someone stole it. Maybe his own people stole the body. Maybe the opponents of Jesus stole the body. This is why the story kept going around that Jesus is alive, but really he never was. It was just a kidnapped dead body. Let me ask you a question for a minute. Let's just pretend we're criminals. If you were going to steal my car, would you detail it first? Or if you were going to kidnap my kids, would you pack them a bag and a jumper just to make sure they weren't cold? I mean, it's a silly thing to do, isn't it? Why would they steal Jesus' body but just make sure that he's unwrapped first in that elaborate way? You see, this small detail, it doesn't prove the resurrection out of hand, but what it does show is that Jesus' body wasn't kidnapped. And Peter would have understood this straight away. He would have understood that there's something more going on here. And we don't know whether Peter believed right at this moment. All we know is that he walked back to where the others were and went home, marveling at what had happened. Now, over time, all of these disciples put their trust in Jesus, the resurrected Jesus Christ. But at this moment in time, the Bible is very gritty, not sugarcoating it and just saying that everyone believed all of a sudden. No, it's very real. The very first Easter Sunday is full of real responses to the amazing, unpredictable news of Jesus coming back from the dead. And you might be the same as some of these people in this passage this morning. You see, you might be like the other disciples. You might be here this morning saying, well, the idea of a resurrection, it's just silly to me. The fact that that guy's standing up the front and talking about someone come back from the dead puts him in the same category as a pork chop. This is nonsense. You might be surprised to know that there are people in the Bible like that. These people. They thought the same thing. They thought the women were in the category of a pork chop. But they didn't stay there either. Confronted with the evidence of Jesus' resurrection over time, they came to put their trust in the risen Lord Jesus. Or perhaps you're like Peter. Perhaps you're skeptical. You say, okay, I've been brought here by friends and family. I've decided to come to church today on Easter Sunday. But if I'm honest, I'm a bit skeptical about it. It was such a long time ago, I'm not sure if it was actually true. And maybe you're like Peter. Peter himself was skeptical, wasn't he? But he did his research. He ran to the tomb and worked it all out, and he did his research. You see, the good news is Christianity is not a moral or spiritual philosophy. It doesn't hide behind my own personal subjectivity. No, Christianity puts its neck on the chopping block and says, do the hard work of evidence. History, evidence, reason, all belong to the realm of Christianity. Even in the Bible itself, it says, if you can find the bones of Jesus in the Middle East, let's all quit, go up to the pub and knock this building down. But no one has. And no one will. Because Jesus did come back to life again, and Peter found that out. Will you do the research? Will you find out if Jesus actually made those predictions, the three big ones? Will you find out if Jesus actually did rise? Don't remain a skeptic without running to the tomb, as it were, and finding out if that information is true. Or you might be like the women. You might be like the women who went to the tomb as devoted followers of Jesus and found that he is risen. You might be here this morning because you've been a Christian for some time. Like the women, you've been a devoted follower of Jesus for a long while. And as you come to the tomb this morning, you realize again, as you've been reminded, hey, Jesus is risen. And if that's you, then like the women, respond with joy. Because though your life is unpredictable, there are some very important things that are predictable because of Jesus Christ. So your life might be unpredictable, but if you, like the women, have put your trust in Jesus Christ, then you can know for certain that your sins have been forgiven. That promise can be kept. And you can know for certain that, like Jesus, you too will be resurrected on the last day. These two things are utterly predictable for you if you know and love the Lord Jesus. You don't know what this next week's going to be like. But if you know and love Jesus and remember that He is risen from the dead, then you can know these two things. Because of Jesus' resurrection, your sins are forgiven and you too will be raised. Well, what a great message to share with others. Like the women, you might get the opportunity this week to share that message with others. Like the women, you might be called a pork chop too. But it's true. What a joyful message it is that in the midst of your unpredictable life, the resurrection of Jesus was utterly predictable, told to us all through the Old Testament, told to us all through Jesus' life, and delivering to us the predictableness of forgiven sins and the predictableness of resurrection to eternal life. Let me pray. Lord, we're really thankful that you have sent Jesus to not only die, but to rise again. And we thank you so much that these are facts that can be interrogated by history, by research, by understanding. And Lord, we thank you that these things stack up, as unusual as they are. And Lord, we ask, please, that if we find ourselves here this morning as people like the disciples thinking it's a bit of nonsense, Lord, would you help us, backed by our own evidence, to show why that is nonsense? Lord, if we're a bit like Peter, we're just a bit skeptical, would you help us to do the research? Lord, if we're like the women, would you help us to regularly be devoted to being reminded like they needed to be, week by week, day by day, of what you've done for us? And having been reminded from your word of the promises that you give us, would you help us to respond with boldness, knowing that our eternal life is utterly predictable? Thank you that it is so, because Jesus has risen from the dead. And it's in His name with great joy we pray. Amen.